This is the Vancouver Mixtape coming to you from the very top of Burnaby Mountain on the unceded ancestral territory of the Squamish, the Musqueam, the Coquitlam, and the Tsleil-Waututh. We broadcast from the SFU Burnaby campus. My name is Jamie Sesford. I'll be bringing you through for the next hour or so. You can catch this show, as well as the other episodes of this show, on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, ncgsf.ca. You can also find us on all the socials at Van Mixtape. That's the Vancouver Mixtape on Facebook. We got a great show. We got a bunch of brand new music that we're going to dig into shortly here. But make sure you stick around, because we have an interview with Hallelujah Hailu, who just released her brand new debut EP, Greetings and Salutations. The interview is fantastic, so stick around for that. It'll be coming up later in the show. But right now, let's kick it off with brand new Bladel. This is Hard Sell, and you're listening to it on the Mixtape.
I've been on it all day, right. And now you're giving me the hard sell. Is it too late, it's really. Your company's changed, what your salary's for. Nothing on fake, do you think I don't know? Did you run away? Assuming you stay with forever unknown, forever so fake, does it make you feel old? You say it's flown, but into my bed.
I've been on it all day. hold me through all the nights I'm alone in my room, waiting for the end to come and go. I wish I was quarantined with you, running out of all the things to do. Guess I'll just be day drinking solo, so lonely. I just wanna scream.
That was Biowana with Quarantine BB. Before that, we had the remix of Little Bears by Ghost Lord. That's by Joey Chaos and the Ghosts. And of course, before that, we started things off with Liddell's Hard Sell, the brand new single. Both those Joey Chaos remix and the Liddell songs are brand new. And of course, that Biowana single came out right in the early stages of the COVID-19 pandemic with Quarantine BB, one of the few quarantine-focused tracks that are actually good. Of course, that track also features Sammy Morelli and Inja. So yeah, go check out some of the new music that those folks are putting out. Now, without further ado, let's dive into the interview that I had. A really great chat that I had with Hallelujah. Of course, she's releasing has released her brand new record, Greetings and Salutations. So we're going to actually kick things off with one of the tracks off of it. This is Float, and you're listening to it on the Vancouver Mixtape.
Text me that you're gonna go take care on your own. That girl's in the mirror, she a bad, pretend she don't even know what. Maybe I went and missed with those signals, but you think I'm pretty, yeah, you think I'm P-R-T-T-Y. Just feel a little queasy, it's strange how I thought love and everyone around me is easy. I'm simple, I know it seems I started to open up. I was gonna
Is the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from the very top of Burnaby Mountain, as we do every single Sunday. Great special guest in quote-unquote studio today. We've got Hallelujah Hailu here chatting with me about her brand new record. Hallelujah, hello.
Hello. Having a great afternoon here with you.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate you coming on. This interview came together pretty quickly, and I gotta say I was captivated from the first pitch, because you said your new EP sounds like maybe like two 80s movies you saw and that you like pasta. And I'm like, well, we gotta interview her.
Of course.
So
two personality traits.
Yeah, they're very important personality traits. Absolutely. So I gotta ask, before we do anything, what's your favorite pasta, and what are the two 80s movies that you reference?
Oh my gosh, pasta. Okay. I feel like I'm being put on the spot, but I just like bow tie pasta. I don't know what it is about bow tie pasta, but everything bow tie pasta, perfect. And my two favorite 80s movies, okay. So I have to say Heathers, because that's the one that the EP is like, I'm obsessed with Heathers, the movie, musical, just Winona Ryder, amazing. And I think the classic one we're going to have to stick it to is like, I don't want to say The Breakfast Club, because I feel like that's a little bit too overdone. I'll just say a classic Ferris Bueller. I think that works, right?
A pair of high school classics, absolutely, which ultimately was like the best part of 80s movies, is that they really hit that high school genre on the head. So great choices, if you ask me. So you said that kind of influenced some of your sound, and your sound as in terms of like being able to be consumed by the public is fairly new. Your first major release coming out in August, if I'm correct, for Capitol Hill. Could you maybe talk a little bit about what you were doing musically prior to that? To that release, or did you just like July 2020 you decided to do it, August 1st 2020 you put out a record or song?
So before Capitol Hill, if you are like in the Burnaby area, you might recognize me because I'm a little bit everywhere. When I was like 14, I won Burnaby's Got Talent, which is like the school district talent show, and that's when I started doing like little performances here and there at like little community events, fun times. That's when I first started writing music. And then I was a part of the school district, ACET like industry music program, which is where I really learned how to produce. Capitol Hill, I wrote in March, early March 2020, when I thought, wow, things are going to be so good. This year is looking so up. I have so many great things happening. And then it sat in my hard drive for so long, until at some point in the quarantine, I went, I can finish this. I can finish this. And there's so much music just from that era. There's probably 4 albums worth of stuff. I'm just like, but Capitol Hill, like, if it wasn't the right timing, would have probably never come out. But it was just, like, a lot of, like, good feedback I got from friends and stuff. And my wonderful friend who did the cover art for it, she was just like, I really want to do cover art. Like, you have to put out something. Like, I also got very tired of telling people, I'm a musician. Can I listen to your music? Well, about that, it's kind of hard to tell people that you're a musician and not have, like, much to show for it. So that's how Capitol Hill kind of came together. Also, Capitol Hill is, like number 2 on, like, best sunset spots in Burnaby. So I had to give a shout-out to the best, like, second best sunset spot in Burnaby.
Wait, what's the best then?
Burnaby Mountain. Oh.
I mean, we're a couple homers, but I can't disagree with you. So what's really interesting about that is usually somebody's very first thing that they put out sucks. Yours does not. And you said you had like albums worth of material. What was it about Capitol Hill that made you be like, this is the first thing that I gotta really release?
It was like, so I think around the time I was putting that out in my head, I thought my first project was going to be stuff that sounded like Capitol Hill. There's a bunch of scrap demos that I've gotten yelled at that aren't coming out that are inspired by that. But that song, I just had like a specific like vibe of like around the time COVID, I think I started like in the early March in the back of my head, I was like, this COVID thing, I wonder if it's going to get really bad. Like, it like in hindsight, it did. Yeah, it really did. But it's just like peak teenaginess. I love like having that like little teenaginess and angstness, which I feel like a lot of people my age tend to avoid sounding like they're a teenager. But this song had just so much like, I'm an angsty teenager and I crave approval of others. And the entire thing, like the entire chorus is just like, oh, your jeans are cooler than mine. Like, it's that entire vibe. I don't think the other demos that got scrapped like had. They were all trying to be older, trying to sound like a person that I'm not.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, it's really interesting because like ultimately a lot of the music that, like, I don't know, I'm speaking from personal experience really, but like a lot of the most formative music like was discovered for me during my teenage years. So like that music has been written and catered towards me, and maybe it's the same for you too. But like, there's something really genuine and relatable for people of all ages when that music is written by the youth that it's marketed towards. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like a big thing for me, the reason why I've kind of gravitated towards 80s high school movies versus like current high school movies, just my like 2 cents about current high school movies, is that they're written by like people who are completely out of touch and have no idea what people in high school are going through. And a thing, at least for me, a great lesson I've learned from my amazing music production teacher, shout out Mr. Alt, authenticity is all that matters. All that matters at the end of the day. And if you're not authentic, then like, what's the point? What's the point of like making music? And although I think he gave me lots of notes on Capitol Hill, at the end of the day, it was an authentic song. Although I don't like the mix of it, like the production of it, like a lot, because I've grown. It's an authentic song, and it's a fun little personal one.
Well, I guess that's a good segue from a year. You said you wrote that around March of last year, so a year later, what have you learned as a songwriter since then, and how do you approach that in new music that you're making?
I think I learned how to lie a lot better, because Again, like with Capitol Hill, it was like it worked because it was written about a specific experience I had, specific sunset I saw on Capitol Hill with a friend of mine. It was a specific, like, I can tell you the day, the time. I'm not going to say it on radio, though. And I think the difference with the stuff I'm writing now is I think I can gracefully, like, lie. The entire EP is like a little concept, like beginning to end, it's a story, which is partially based on my life, partially. Obviously, I'm not going to a party. I'm at home producing in my bedroom. That's what the concept is. You're going to a party. It's fun. And the difference is like being able to like create like more of a bigger, like fantastical, like not real version of yourself is kind of what you need as a songwriter, because it can be draining taking like these super hyper specific personal experiences and putting it out into the world for people to consume, right? Because it's a lot of yourself to put out. So this EP, I can promise you, not every single thing is 100% about my life.
That's also like pretty, like a pretty wise take on music, I guess, on especially lyric writing. Mainly because, like, yeah, a lot of people when they start, right, they start like writing those hyper specific, like very unsubtle songs, and then they turn into storytellers. Now, is storytelling important in the lyrics that you consume? Like, what kind of other musicians are influencing you as a lyricist, if at all? I know some people don't even think of other vocalists as lyrical influences because they want to have that separation and kind of keep to their authentic self. But is that where you find influence? And if so, who?
Okay. I think you mentioned like your teens are really what makes your music taste forever. My early teens, I was so emo, like so, I was a huge, I still am, like, I'm a huge Fall Out Boy fan. Early Panic at the Disco, like all of My Chemical Romance, like the discography still stands to this day. And an issue when I first started writing songs was I tried so hard to sound like I was Pete Wentz. And I realized I sounded so pretentious and annoying because I am not, where is he from? Like Chicago. I'm not like a white dude from Chicago talking about some girl that like broke my heart. That's not my branding. And applying though, like I really like these like super poetic, like story, like a little bit over the top. Like I'm obsessed with it. And that like specific era of like pop punk is just like so rich with it. Like early Panic at the Disco, like I can say like top 10 albums like ever, period, full stop, for me is Pretty Odd, which is, it's just such like a weird album in their discography. And especially like Ryan Ross's like lyricism, like The Young Veins, like if I ever get like a chance to co-write with anybody, Ryan Ross, like I don't think he really does like too much music stuff anymore, but like I just like, it's just such like a specific thing for me. I think back, and when I need inspiration, that's what I always go back to.
I've waited 15 years to have this conversation with somebody. That second Panic at the Disco album is totally underrated. I think that it's so good. It's so like weird and Beatles-y when like the first one is essentially like musical theater, and like they're both great. I love both those records. But like I totally agree on Ryan Ross as a producer and a lyricist. I think
God, and the lore with that album, just like a quick, like I always, you're gonna have to like redirect me because I could talk about it for hours. The album like that got scrapped, like Cricket and Clover. I think about that. So everything, so right now in my songwriting journey, I wonder what is gonna be the cool scrapped album that has to get scrapped so I can make like my Pretty Odd, right? Which is my cool underrated record. So right now, like, I just got to process what's my Cricket and Clover, what needs to get cut off for, like, that. It's so, there's so much lore behind Pretty Odd that I'm, like, obsessed with. Yeah, favorite record.
Oh, that's so awesome. Now, do you ever foresee a time where you would transition into, like, making an emo album, like, a straight-up, like, classic,
I've been waiting to have this conversation for, like, a couple months. I've been saying this for a while, like, right now I'm, like, making music under, like, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, right? But I have this, like, I really want to start a punk band. I really want to learn how to, like, scream properly. Like, because I've met lots of dudes who are like, yeah, I can scream properly for my music. No, you can't. Buddy, like, it sounds really good, but your vocal cords. So I think that's something I really want to do. Like, I really just want, like, a very, like, I'm